Hey, you're listening to 4Play Radio Sex Therapy with sex therapist Lori Watson and couples therapist Dr. Adam Matthews. And Adam is just returning from the mud runs in Asheville.
Spartan race.
You
don't,
stud.
Don't ever do it.
Yeah.
It's awful. It's awful.
Tell again what you did. Like you.
It was an obstacle course race in Asheville.
Uh-huh.
Right? And it was 11 miles of hell on earth.
Yes.
And we all paid like $150
to torture ourselves
and go through this up a mountain, up like 1,200 feet vertical up, and then over 2 miles, and then it was terrible.
Adam,
I don't know why you did it. We did it for a medal. That's why we did it, Lori. We do it for trophies.
That's why men do these things, right?
Yeah, there was plenty of women there too.
I don't know why
they were doing it.
Yeah, some of my neighbors are big mudders, and they're into it. They got their kids going. Yeah, the women and the men, absolutely.
Yeah, so
yeah, fun.
It was crazy.
Good way to stay in shape, though.
Yeah, what?
And Asheville's beautiful.
Yeah, it was beautiful. Had a nice burger at Juicy Lucy's. I highly recommend Juicy Lucy's. And then we went and got Vortex Donuts afterwards.
So, and they're not paying us to say
they're paying us nothing. But go
but
eat
I
a burger
did tell
there.
Adam that sounded like a very sexual name of a restaurant.
That's right.
Juicy Lucy's. Okay. Well, we're going to talk about inhibition for men. And if you want to find us, you know, we love taking comments and questions. And we're on the web, which is 4playrst.com. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter. And Adam, tell us you have a new website name.
Yeah, we have a new website that's going to launch on September 1st, matthewscounseling.net. And it'll be fully up and operational, book appointments online. And we're going to have a client toolkit up there
as well as doing some
strength finder assessments, things like that that are useful online.
But people can actually start working on themselves just by going to your website.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
There'll be some videos up, some just 2-minute quick hit helps for couples that you can implement on your own at home. So we're looking forward to getting that launched on
September 1st. And you take appointments by Skype, right?
We do.
You can
Skype in office. Over the phone, you can schedule that right from the website as well. So try to get that super super easy to get connected.
Good.
For sure.
So if you want to talk to Adam, contact him at his new website. Okay. So I think a lot of listeners out there think men are not inhibited, that men always want sex all the time.
Yeah. I mean, that is the common cultural theme, isn't it, that men don't have any problems with wanting to have sex.
Right. But or wanting to do anything wild and crazy in bed.
Right. But I'm sure you see clients, and I see them as well, where the woman is complaining in the relationship that her husband doesn't want to have sex with her.
Right.
It's so common. I would say for my clients, it's almost 50-50.
Yeah.
Would you say it's the same with yours?
Probably not 50-50, but I definitely hear about it, men who are inhibited for many reasons. I mean, I often see a lot of couples in arranged marriages and couples who, by faith decisions or moral decisions, don't have sex.
Hmm.
And so they don't necessarily know when they get married, you know, what's going to be revealed. And they find all kinds of things being revealed in themselves that are inhibited. And men and women seem to have that. I mean, I think the big shock can be that a man doesn't want to do it, you know, 24/7. That's a big one.
Which can be a shock to his partner, right?
That's
because going in thinking he's going to want to have sex all the time and I'm going to be the one to control how often we have it.
Is that fair? I don't think women are thinking that
necessarily that
they can control how often they have it. But
they
are expecting his appetite to be fairly large.
Right.
And then her own maybe is when she finds out she's hungrier for sex than he is, it's a shock. And a lot of women misinterpret that. You know, I'm not that attractive. He doesn't think that, you know, he doesn't desire me. But it could just be he really has a lower appetite or he needs something more to connect and be sexual than she thought he did.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember my husband really liked to put his briefcase down and sit and talk and have a glass of wine and, you know, connect when we were young marrieds before we would jump into bed. And I remember thinking, wow, that wasn't the way I thought it was going to be. You know,
I just thought he was going to walk in the door ready to go.
Yeah, I did. I mean, it didn't occur to me that men, too, would need that sense of connection.
Yeah. Well, and I think that there's probably an expectation has been built that that's the way that men are going to work. And so often wouldn't you say that we don't talk about it as much when there is any kind of inhibition, when there is any kind of like reluctance or anything like that, or whether when the drive is just low, that to come out and begin to talk about it is something that's a little bit taboo. I don't know, like, it's not taboo, but maybe just
also
difficult.
Yeah, and I think maybe if she says to him, what do you mean you don't want to do all these wild and crazy things? Like, suddenly it's almost an attack on his masculinity, you know, because all men are like this, you know.
All men
bed.
Want sex all the time.
Yeah,
we think about it all the time.
All men want, you know, crazy wild sex all the time. And so there's this, you know, attack, I think, that can come. And especially if she's threatened, she might say it to him as an attack, right?
Yeah, which can lead them to just get them stuck in their sexual relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For sure.
Absolutely. So.
I think too, like, men get stuck in their own head about sex and what they expect that they are supposed to be able to do. And that keeps them from talking about it as well.
I agree.
There may be an attack that comes from their partner, but there's also an attack that comes from their own beliefs about how they are supposed to be sexually.
Yep.
We're very limited in our ability to feel like that sexual drive and desire can vary in one gender, especially with men. And so that limits our ability to talk about it.
Right. I often ask men, you know, tell me what you say to yourself in your head that makes you feel inhibited.
Mm.
Because they start to then hear that part of them that is saying different things. I mean, I think the number one thing that I see makes men feel inhibited is their anxiety about their performance.
Mm.
You know, if they are afraid in any way, I'm going to climax too quickly or I'm going to lose my erection or whatever, that inhibits them to go to bed, to be in bed in a really present, connected way because they're in their heads, you know, and they withdraw very quickly.
Yeah. You think that that's connected to the fear of performance is also about pleasing their partner as well, by bringing her to orgasm, like it being good for her and that being a fear as well?
Yes.
Some of the voices
that
are in there as well.
Right. And they might be telling themselves, you know, she's not going to like what I'm going to do or what I want to do to her, or she's not going to get there and it's going to be my fault, or maybe I'm inadequate as a lover, or my size is inadequate. I mean, I think men walk through our doors, Adam, and I really think they're terrified that the bottom line message that they're going to hear from the sex therapist is they're inadequate as lovers and they're just not big enough.
Yeah, and here's a book about all the techniques you need to learn to please your woman. Yeah,
right.
That's the fear.
And
right?
We're going to tell them what to do, and they're like, I just want to do what I want to do sometimes. Yeah, exactly.
That's right. Yeah, I think I've heard as well that there's just, because it is so confusing, that a lot of times men don't have language for why they don't want to have sex.
Or why they don't want to do a particular thing.
Oh, yeah, or why they don't want to do a particular thing or try something new. Mm. Because they talk about, I love my wife, want to have sex, want to do these things, you know, want to please her, but they don't have a reason for, it's hard to articulate exactly why, which I think is what you're talking about, what the voices in your head are saying, what the narrative is that's going on regarding sex might be so important.
Yeah, and I think that for most of us, right, when we feel something but we haven't even articulated it to ourselves, we become tongue-tied about telling our partner this incredibly vulnerable feeling, lest we be judged, lest whatever, but we don't even know.
Mm.
I mean, so much of, I think, our life we live in on an unconscious level, right?
Yeah.
You know, they're just feelings, emotions that float through us, and we haven't articulated the why.
Yeah.
You know, and I do think that that's what therapy is good for, is helping people articulate that why and what's going on inside you.
Yeah. What are the other reasons that you hear besides just the being scared of performance? Are there other things that you're hearing on a regular basis about why men are inhibited with sex?
Yeah, I mean, I think certainly they can be afraid of pregnancy, right? Mm. You know, maybe they are not ready to have a child, and so, you know, they just shut down for that.
Mm.
I mean, even STDs, and of course we're speaking generally to committed couples, but, you know, a lot of times that comes up. I had a couple this week that, you know, one of them had an STD that was new, and they'd probably had it for a very long time, but it was just evidenced. And so, you know, their partner was like, oh, I don't really want to do anything with you right now. And I mean, there can be just fear. What does it mean that you have this, all the negative consequences of having sex with a partner? And, you know, am I going to catch something?
Yeah.
All that.
That's something, too, that I think is, again, goes back to some cultural narratives that are very prominent, which is that sex always leads to something bat, mm-hmm. right? That especially early on, we hear about those things you mentioned, pregnancy, STDs, whatever, that really kind of lead us to continually think that in the back of our heads, that this is going to, the consequences of sex are going to be
bad. I'm going to go blind. There's something really bad that's going to happen, right?
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, there still is kind of a puritanical, moralistic, or, you know, just fear messages that we get from our childhood. And it kind of associates, I think, desire with a fear response.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think you're right. Yeah. I think that can totally curtail people in bed. Well, let's take a little break. You're listening to 4Play Radio Sex Therapy with Lori Watson, sex therapist, and Dr. Adam Matthews, and we'll be right back.
Wanting sex again. How to rediscover desire and heal a sexless marriage by certified sex therapist Lori Watson.
Each chapter is designed to fix one of the problems that cause low libido, from early marriage through the childbearing years, even all the way through menopause. I've also had men read it and tell me that for them, it was the most hopeful thing they read about resolving sexual problems.
Look for Wanting Sex Again on Amazon.com. You can also talk to Lori Watson for therapy in person or via Skype.
I offer couples counseling and sex therapy, and I think about both aspects of the relationship, emotional intimacy and sexual technique, and that combination together helps marriages be happy.
Improve your sex and improve your relationship with Awakening Center for Couples and Intimacy. Find out more at awakenloveandsex.com and sign up for their next couples retreat weekend hosted by Lori Watson. awakenloveandsex.com. Awaken what's possible.
Welcome back to 4Play Radio Sex Therapy. This is Lori Watson, your host and sex therapist, and I'm here with Dr. Adam Matthews, our couples therapist. And we're talking today about how men are inhibited sexually as well, and how they and their partners can fix that.
Yeah, and perhaps one of the things that we maybe didn't clarify in the very beginning is we're not talking about low sex drive. Right,
right, not necessarily. Right.
This is something different that we're talking about.
I think I'm thinking more about how men particularly might find themselves disgusted at a particular act, or they're not as experimental as their partner. They're maybe not as spontaneous. They're not up for it whenever, whatever, particularly I think the whatever. You know, I had a patient who was talking about it and said her husband traditionally was kind of needed forewarning about they were going to be sexual. And she dragged him from his office. It was at night. And wanted to kiss him in her bedroom. And she was standing in the bedroom. It was in the dark. And she wanted to do a deep, passionate kiss. And she's like, that's all I wanted. But traditionally, they didn't kiss much. They did not do French kissing much. And, you know, I was saying to her, that was all you wanted. Mm. But did he know that was all you wanted? Did he know where you were going with this? I mean, he was really kind of had fairly tight boundaries in terms of what he liked, and he liked it at a certain time in a certain place, and he liked forewarning, and he was just more generally rigid about sex than maybe we think men are.
And so they just weren't communicating about what that looked like.
Right. Hmm. But sometimes, I mean, men find disgust at certain acts, and I think some men don't want to give oral sex. You know, they find that just repulsive in some way. And so what would you say to them about how could they get over that? How could they rethink that?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think one of the things that we have talked about as of reasons why men are inhibited is those kind of narratives that are running in their head, right?
Mm-hmm.
The more that we become aware of what those are concerning sex and our sex lives and what are the messages we've been handed down from our families, what are the messages we've been handed down from culture, our society, that we've kind of bought into that's keeping us from being fully sexual with our partners. I think becoming aware of those seems to be one of the ways that we can start to kind of fight back against those and being aware of how they're limiting us.
Especially, I think one way I would like our listeners to do it is just to ask yourselves, you know, kind of rapid fire, free association. Women like sex this way. Men want sex that way. This is what I believe men and sex means, you know, like just free associate, you know, go for it. Like whatever comes out of your mouth, listen to your sort of more deeply embedded beliefs about the genders and what they feel about sex before you even start to examine maybe what might go wrong between you and your partner about it.
And Lori, it seems like that exercise, you have to say it out loud. Right?
I think so too.
It sounds
that's
it
the
sounds,
rule.
That's
you have
the
to
rule.
Say it out loud.
Yeah, because you have to hear it. Because I think when you hear it, it sounds different out loud than it does in your head, right? And I think you can hear kind of maybe if the limits of it, or even in some cases the ridiculousness of what your belief about sex is when you hear it out loud, right?
Yeah, and I think that this. I mean, allowing yourselves to first say them and then to question it and say, you know what? Nobody fits into every stereotype.
That's
you
right.
know, not all men feel X, Y, and Z about sex. Yeah. And not all women feel X, Y, and Z about sex. And it's okay if you're gender reverse sometimes. Maybe she wants it more and maybe she wants wilder sex than he does. And that's okay. You know, then they can at least start to talk about it.
Yeah.
And then get through to each other instead of being stuck in that cultural narrative, like you say.
Yeah. That questioning that, is this my belief or is this a belief that's been imposed on me, something that I've grown up believing that I don't have to believe anymore? Yeah, that questioning would seem to be key as well. I like that a lot. What about the fear of performance issues? Those fears of, am I good enough? Am I big enough? Am I pleasing her in the right way? All of those types of performance-based questions, how do we kind of attack those?
Well, I think the question to ask your partner is not, am I good enough? But to say, hey, you know, tell me about your experience in bed with me and what I could do differently, what would be better, what you like, what you don't like. I'm finding myself not able to read all your responses. And so I think I need you to actually articulate what you do think about and what you do feel and that kind of thing.
That's reality checking some of those thoughts, that some of those fears that you may have to see where they are. That's kind of fearful for me. It seems like I would have to be really good at not taking what she says personally. If there's anything negative.
If there's any kind of criticism.
If there's any kind of criticism or anything she'd like to be different or, you know, slightly better or... You know, like how do we kind of depersonalize those as men and not take it as personally? Because, you know, a lot of our identity rides on how well we do sexually.
Right, right. I agree. And I think that it bears saying that if you are the sender of that message, I mean, tact in bed is your number one goal. You know, how to say what you need to say in a way that preserves the other person's sexual dignity and their sexual ego. I mean, there are certain things that cannot be unsaid, right?
That's right.
I mean, I've had patients who come in and the woman will say, he's just not big enough. I don't feel him. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, that you said it at all and B, that you said it in front of another person.
Yeah. That's just a hard one to come back from.
That is just hard. That is a hard one to come back to. And the way I do come back, I say, is, you know, you can't feel him. Which is really different because sometimes with pregnancy and other issues, women, their sensation is different. Yep. I mean, so anyway, enough about that. But so I think one thing is, again, be a good sender of the message and be a good listener.
Yeah.
You know, okay, so you're saying that, you know, I don't kiss the way you really want to be kissed. Could you tell me a little bit more about what you do want?
Yeah.
I mean, of course, we want these things to be such optimal communications because it's so sensitive.
So being gracious with each other, I think, is key there, too.
Yes.
You're going to fumble through these conversations.
They're not going to be easy.
They're not going to be smooth and polished conversations.
Maybe you can go to Adam's website. He's going to have a step-by-step there.
That's how to talk about sex. Three-step guide.
Exactly. And actually, you know what? I do have one on WebMD. I blog for WebMD, and there's how to talk about sex.
That's great.
Yep.
So
please
go there
look
first.
For Lori Watts on WebMD. It's second opinion, and so you can find something there that does guide you a little bit at least.
Yeah.
I think that one thing is when we have inhibition, we're turned off, and it feels very intrinsic to our being. We do not want to do something that perhaps our partner wants us to do. It just, it's deep inside us. But a lot of times we have a system that we are sort of following that turns us off. And and I think that that's focus. Yeah. So maybe, you know, you think, well, you know, I don't like my partner. I had a friend recently told me didn't like their partner's smell.
Oh, yeah.
But her partner was a smoker.
Okay.
You know, and it was probably fixable. And she was able to set that aside by saying, okay, this is the smell of his skin when he's smoking, and he is that, but he hasn't always been a smoker. And, you know, maybe we could talk about how that might enhance her sexual pleasure to let to have him stop smoking, you know, healthy and,
right.
you know, and she was actually able just to let it go.
Yeah.
You know, just realizing that was what she didn't like. She refocused on the things, you know, he was very passionate.
Like. Yeah.
And she loved that. So she focused on that.
So then that sounds like a refocus on him as well, as opposed to focus on the thing that was disgusting her, the thing that was turning her off.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And I think men's inhibition sometimes is about, you know, they're used to viewing pornography where the woman is willing and ready and they don't have to do anything to arouse the image. And so some of the turnoff is they're expecting to be aroused.
Mm.
They don't realize it has to be self-generated.
Yeah.
You know?
So they're not focusing on what, again, they're not focusing on what turns them on. They're focusing on what turns them off.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, oh, she's not into it.
Yeah.
And they focus on that versus realizing there's so much that can be fixed in that by their own efforts.
Yeah. I think, too, that sounds like as well that if they can, if the couple can start off on something that they know turns him on, something they know that is arousing for him, that that might get over some of those inhibitions. Because when we're aroused, we're much more likely to do things that we wouldn't normally do. It lowers inhibition.
Absolutely.
Right? And so starting at in a place of where we know this does turn.
This is good.
This is good. This is safe. This is good. Get to a point of arousal before going to the act that maybe has been a turnoff before.
Yeah. And I mean, even when you said that word, this is safe. I know, I got to say again, I know there's a large proportion of men out there that are just rolling their eyes at us, Adam, today. Like, safe. Oh, for crying out loud. It's all safe. It's all good. You know, they don't necessarily relate to the male who is inhibited. But I know women out there do, and they do have partners, male partners, who sometimes they want more than he does, and they want it, you know, differently. So I just reacted to that word, safe.
Yeah, you know? I can understand that. I think that would be, I might roll my eyes at that too if I heard it on a podcast, but I also know that everybody's different, and that's why I think a lot of guys are going to roll their eyes at the title of just he's inhibited or why he's inhibited in the first place. But the guys that are need to hear that this is common, and it's not every guy is different, and this is not widespread where they all are willing just to jump in and go for it automatically.
Like, yeah, right. I think there's more inhibition too in men. I wanted to talk about three specific things.
Yeah.
Their body image, this fear of an STD, and getting their wife pregnant. So I think in terms of body image, there is a lot more pressure on men to look hot and look great all the time. And that's new. I mean, I think men your age, right? Much more pressure than there were when I was growing up. There was a lot of pressure on women, not so much on the guys.
Yeah.
But I think some men come to the bed feeling like, you know, I don't like my belly. I don't like this. And so they don't move as much. They're more inhibited. Would you say anything to...
More
passive in bed. Would you say anything to them about how they can get over that?
Well, I mean, I think that there are, if they're doing things that are...
Adam, who just ran the mutter.
Well, yeah. I was going to say, like, most of those guys that ran it there ran it shirtless and in some really tight pants. Like, I mean, so like there was obvious that what was happening, like men, the pressure for men to feel that, it was kind of obvious that that's something that is new. I mean, eating disorders in men are on the rise, body dysmorphic disorders, stuff like that are on the rise for guys. And so I think there are some simple things without going overboard to those levels that they can do. Like you mentioned smoking. Stop smoking. Like that's going to give you a lot more confidence.
Mm-hmm.
Exercise, for sure. Mm-hmm. Eating right. Some of those things that naturally kind of boost your confidence level. Mm-hmm. And I think the other thing is to talk to your partner about what she likes about you. Mm-hmm. Like, what are the parts of your body that she does like, that she finds attractive? Again, this is this idea to me, and you tell me if you agree, of focusing on, mm-hmm. refocusing on the things that are good, the things that you like, the things that are you are positive about in yourself and that your partner likes as well. And that being what kind of, quote unquote, drives you in the bedroom.
Right. And I think that when we're self-conscious, we tend to focus on the self and our flaws, mm-hmm. and that diminishes sexual pleasure and arousal. So try to focus on your partner's arousal and their mm-hmm. pleasure. That sort of gets you out of your own self-watching and self-criticism.
Yeah.
I am interested, though, that the advice you gave men was sort of along the lines of do what you can to be healthy and get in shape, whereas that – we wouldn't necessarily give that advice to women, right, who are feeling self-conscious. That would be culturally
inappropriate,
right? Yeah. You don't say to a woman who's feeling, you know, heavy or out of shape, well, get in shape, you know?
Well, and that was
but I do think that men respond better to it.
Well, I think it's you know, it's the difference between body shaming and just being healthy in general.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is going to naturally increase your sex drive. Mm-hmm. It's going to naturally increase your ability to be aroused, your ability to be less inhibited. But you're right. Like, you want to make sure, like, not talking about going to drastic measures with any mm-hmm. of this stuff, but that you are healthy in what you're doing. This is going to affect sleep patterns and your ability to have enough sleep, so that when you are engaged in sex, you feel like you
and performance
your performance issues as well. So
yeah. Okay. So the sexually transmitted diseases. If you suddenly find out your partner has an STD that you mm-hmm. didn't know, I mean, first of all, if your partner knew, I mean, that's going to put a big emotional gap between the two of you, right? Because
right.
you don't feel protected. And
yep.
that's a whole nother podcast. But I would say that in general, you need good information from your physicians. Both people need to go be tested,
mm-hmm.
you know, figure out how to prevent cross, you know, contact and what can they do about it. And sometimes you already have it. I mean, it turns out, like, so many times one person shows up with herpes and the other one already had it.
Yeah.
You know, and when they go to the doctor, they figure that out. And it's like, oh, actually, I passed it to you. It
yeah.
turns out, you know, so that can be something, or they can learn how to prevent that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think that pregnancy, whew, you know, I think the difficulty there is, you know, are we on the same page about
That's
it?
Right.
Got to make sure that.
Do we feel confident in our methods of protection? And
right.
Do we trust our partner to be using
yeah. those methods? And, you know, if you're a guy and you don't. There's always condoms.
Yeah.
I mean, I sometimes I do wonder, you know, men who say, well, you know, she said she was taking the birth control pill. And it's like, okay,
you doubted it
at the time. You know, you need yeah. to protect yourself if you're not ready for a child.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's the first step. The other step is that if you're in a relationship with that person and you don't trust that they are doing what they say they're going to do, let's come see a therapist. How
yeah.
about it? Let's talk about that issue, because that's going to have further implications
right.
you know, outside of the bedroom as well.
Right. So. MatthewsCounseling.com?
.net.
Matthews with one T. Okay, good. And you can find us too at awakenloveandsex.com. I'm there as well. Okay, so thank you for listening to Foreplay Radio Sex Therapy. We are so grateful to have you as listeners. We love doing this. We love talking about sex and trying to educate you and help you have sex that's
right.
hot.
We want you to keep it hot.
Yep, that's right. Hey, help us stay on top here at Foreplay. We'd love it if you would subscribe and share it with your friends. And please take 1 sec and rate and review us. Thanks so much.